Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy
94.9. You're on Chicks Talking Footy with Danae and Fiona. Welcome, Danae.
Good. Thanks, Fee.
Pleasure to spend a Wednesday evening with you. We've got a lot of exciting things coming up on the show. We talked earlier today with Nicole Hayes, who is the author of A Footy Girl's Guide, The Stars of 2017, and also a member of the Outer Sanctum podcast. And you were in WA recently and talked to Michelle Cowan.
I was home for Christmas, so I went along to Fremantle Dockers training on three nights and watched the women and started to be able to pick the players. And yeah. I'm pretty excited about that. And I had a quick word with the coach, so we'll hear that too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. She's such a fireball, Michelle, isn't she? Now, we do a podcast each week, don't we, Danae?
Yes, we do.
And I think it's pretty good.
I think so too.
And you can listen back to all of our shows on the Joy website, joy.org.au, and or we post it on our Facebook page every week as well. Speaking of Facebook, how can people find us on Facebook, Danae?
Well, I'd say you just look up Chicks Talking Footy at Joy 94.9. It's pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
And like and share, folks.
And we love our Twitter account as well.
CTF Joy 94.9.
So and don't people, forget the dot.
No. But if you're looking for Chicks Talking Footy, you'll find a few of us, but we'll tweet out as we do. It's such an exciting time for you.
Yeah, we're really amping up for the Women's League. We're going to talk a bit more about what's happening there. We're also going to be part of the Pride March on Sunday, January the 29th, down in St Kilda.
Here in Melbourne, yes.
And we're looking forward to hanging out with our mates from the LGBTIQ AFL community, the Ruby Demons, Purple Bombers, Pink Magpies, they're all going to be down there marching at the Pride March. We're going to support them and also march with Joy. We haven't figured out quite how to manage that yet, but we're going to do it.
I'm not sure marching is the right word. It might be sashaying or strolling or handballing.
Well, I'm pregnant, so in my case it'll be waddling. Growing the Hawks membership one baby at a time. Our special guest today is Nicole Hayes, who is a broadcaster on the Outer Sanctum podcast and author of several books, including The Whole of My World, about a footy-obsessed teenager, From the Outer, co-authored with Alicia Sometimes, which has 30 personal stories about Aussie rules that you've never heard before, and more recently, A Footy Girl's Guide to the Stars of 2017 for Young Girls. And most importantly, she's a Hawks fan. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Nicole.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Ah, it's so good. My word, what a lot has happened since you were here last.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, really. Yeah.
You're our overachieving older cousin. So, Nicole, you obviously have a great love for footy.
Hmm.
So where did it all start for you?
Like a lot of kids, I think, just that, you know, at school, that's all anyone talked about. And I was dragged up to I have a twin brother and dragged to the local club to play. And of course I wasn't allowed to, but I wasn't going to stand around and watch. So I sort of joined in with training every chance I could and became quite obsessed right from the beginning, really.
Fantastic.
When you came here, gosh, nearly 12 months ago, it was to talk about stories from the outer. Footy as you've never heard it. Such a lot has happened in that 12 months. What's the launch of the AFLW mean to you?
This is a question I've asked in the book that we're just about to launch. I asked the players too, and I remember thinking, I don't actually have the words to answer that. It means the world, and it's extraordinary in terms of, I don't think we understand what it means yet. I think that's as simple as that. We do not understand where the implications and how enormous this is going to be.
I've just listened to an episode of another awesome collection of women talking about football, This AFL Life, and they talked to a rookie drafted player, and it's the best insight I've heard yet about what it's like to be aspiring to be one of the eight clubs with 26 or 28 players on their list. Because there's a lot of women who play football in Australia, and it was really competitive to get on those lists. So Today I felt like I found out a bit more about what it's like for the players, but as a supporter, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just love the idea. I've got daughters too, so I just love the idea that, you know, anyone can play. It always felt like a game that anyone should be able to play, and I certainly, you know, gave it everything I could, but it feels a bit belated, admittedly, a bit slow, but now that we're here, look, I can't wait to see the first bounce. I can't wait to hear the crowd go. And if the exhibition matches are anything to show, we are up for a boomer of a season.
Absolutely. They've already moved the opener from Olympic Park to Icon Park because they're expecting bigger crowds than they first anticipated.
I went along to the practice match between Melbourne and Carlton at the weekend, and I know now that lots of people didn't even know it was happening, and there were a couple of thousand people watching a cracking game.
Fabulous, yeah. And so in the book, the A Footy Girl's Guide to the Stars of 2017, you targeted that at younger girls.
Yeah, 7 to 12-year-olds.
I learnt a lot from it, so I'm not sure what that says about me or whether it's just such a great thing to learn about the players because, we're trying to learn about a whole new league at the moment. One of the common stories that all of them had was they were the only girl on their team or, they often showed the boys up, but then once they got to 14, they had to stop. Mm. So it's exciting to see what will happen with that pathway now. Are you already observing changes in that area?
Yeah, well, I think these guys, maybe some of the younger players might have been able to benefit from the youth competitions that were out there, but that's still a fairly recent phenomenon. So a lot of the players that are especially the marquees, the players that we've highlighted in this book, a lot of them are a bit older and didn't have that opportunity. So that a good number of them, just for 4 or 5 years, just left the game altogether, went and played another sport. Someone like Erin Phillips, who's been recruited by the Crows, she went and played basketball for Australia, won herself a silver medal while she was there, come back to footy after years. She hasn't ever played as an adult. So, you know, there are quite a few stories of that, of players coming back from different sports.
I love the artwork. So it's important, but it's a small book. And it's mine's already a bit bedraggled because it's been knocking around in my bag.
We'll take it to the games and go, okay, who's playing?
So the artwork, Philip Marsden, beautiful artwork. Why did you choose that sort of format?
Honestly, we just wanted it to be fun, fun and accessible. We wanted, girls haven't really been involved in the conversation around footy, kids' books for footy at all, as far as I know. And it's still a fairly new space, writing for kids, using sport as kind of the backdrop. So
surprisingly.
Yeah, it seems odd, doesn't it? But it's always been a bit of a weird thing. I don't know how publishers have really known how to tackle it. Sorry.
But I found out some of the players... favourite food, their nicknames. It's such an easy approach to explaining who the players are. It's a format we understand. We've been following men and what their nicknames are and what their favourite food is and what their superstitions are. For 150 years.
We have. And I think that's the thing is there are some great personalities there and they're just waiting to come out on the page. So we really wanted to capture that. So we interviewed each of the players. So it's one player from each club. And because we had to put this together last year, it ended up being marquee or early draft players.
Yeah.
So there'll be players you'll get to see quite a bit of. And we basically, we interviewed them with the aim of having their story told in their voice. Yeah. And so that was a really important thing for us, not to be writing over the top of them, for them to have their platform to tell the story that mattered to them.
Is a number of them are country girls?
Yeah, we've got some, I think there's a Wangaratta, we've got, there's a few from interstate too. It's New South Wales, Nowra. Maddie Collier comes from Nowra. I think she was the only first early draft player who came from New South Wales, and she, born and bred. So that's nice to see the AFL getting a bit of a run there.
So as a Hawks supporter, I was a bit disappointed that we don't have a women's team. Obviously, there's a lot of people with other teams that are feeling the same way. But are you going to pick a team that you'll go for, or are you just going to generally cheer on the women's?
I don't know how I can just watch footy without investing in a team. So,
yeah, I've never done that before.
No, I haven't. And any sport, I tend to pick someone that I favour. So I guess I haven't yet.
Go the purple.
Yeah, she's got Fremantle, Danae.
I feel like it's going to be a Melbourne team.
Of course it is. Yeah. I'm just saying it. I've got a team. That's all.
You've got one.
It is funny, that phenomenon. We've talked about this on the show, but in WA, if West Coast was in the grand final, Fremantle supporters would not barrack for them. But we, as Victorian supporters, would always barrack for the other Victorian team.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a different dynamic that goes on. But
unless
it's
Collingwood and Carlton.
Yeah. And then you're confused.
Which is the first game on Friday night of the AFLW season. It's a very exciting time. What are you expecting from the 8-week comp?
You know what? I have no idea. I mean, this is the thing about it. I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to get lots of big crowds, and I think we're going to see some amazing football. But it's a blank slate. We're really, it's all of it's new right from the ground up. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing some players really come out of their, you know, come to their own, players that we haven't heard anything about. Some of these players who made later drafts or lower picks just because they haven't had access or have come across from another sport. I think there's a lot of unexpected surprises out there waiting for us.
I can give you a tip. I've been to a few Fremantle training sessions, so I can give you the skinny on the Freo players.
Excellent.
To keep an eye out for.
Yep.
It's good. Going to be very exciting.
Really, really big.
Yeah, Freo have been playing well in the practice matches.
Yeah, well, there's only been a couple.
Yeah.
That's all we've got to go by.
That's true. And the Blues did really well against Demons, didn't they?
Yeah, it was tight in the first half and then it broke open. What's next for Nicole Hayes and Alicia sometimes?
Oh, gosh. Well, we've got the book launch. Can I talk about that?
Yes,
that's actually on the 4th of February. So it is between games, just so everyone's clear. Okay. It is the weekend of the launch of the round one,
Just
in time, but it is between games. So it's 2 o'clock at the – there's going to be a pop-up park at Yarraville near the Younger Son bookshop, and Emma King, Collingwood marquee players, going to be there. Alicia and I are going to be there. Party pie, sausage rolls. You know, it's footy. We're on. So ready to go. So that's Saturday the 4th.
And the evening game is the Western Bulldogs at Witten Oval taking on.
You can go straight from there.
This is great. I have never
know that, Danae?
I have never hung out with two Hawks and been able to talk about so much Freo.
We've got nothing to add to this conversation from the Hawthorn point of view.
Well, seeing as you've actually got a team, you've probably got more to say than we do about that kind of thing. But and memorise the fixture a bit more than we have probably as well.
And a few players' names. But there are 8 marquee players in A Footy Girl's Guide to the Stars of 2017, the AFLW inaugural season, the inaugural superstars, and I hope that there's a series of these books to come, Nicole.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll collect them.
Awesome.
Thanks so much for coming on to Chicks Talking Footy. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
Good luck with your book launch.
Thank you.
And the Outer Sanctum are doing great things on their podcast as well. So tune in to all the footy podcasts this year.
Footy.
Tia.
Thanks, Nicole.
Hi, I'm Alicia Sometimes from Outer Sanctum, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy with Danae and Fiona. We are pumped at the moment, and Danae has been busy in the off-season, haven't you, Danae?
Well, I'm sure we all have been busy in the between seasons, I think we should call it now. A limited space between the end of the AFL 2016 season, where the Western Bulldogs won a premiership, which seems so long ago.
It does.
Through to the beginning of the AFLW 2017 season, the very first. I've watched a scratch match between Fremantle and Adelaide on YouTube, which was fantastic, and that was 10 days or so ago. And then I went to Princes Park on Saturday to watch Melbourne and Carlton play a scratchy fee. And I've got to tell you something. I had never been to Princes Park before.
Wow.
For real.
Wow, you popped your Princess Park cherry. So
that's very charming.
That's a very embarrassed giggle. I spent most of my childhood at Princess Park. Well, a large section of my childhood there.
Well, I can imagine what it was like, especially back in the 80s, before the national competition. It would have been pretty tribal. But don't you barrack for Hawthorn? Why were you at Princes Park?
Hawthorn did have some home games there, or some time where their home games were there. I'm not sure why. I'll have to research that. But
they've got around a bit, haven't they, Hawthorn?
Yeah, well, we do get around. But I used to collect aluminium cans at halftime.
At Princes Park.
After the game, and they had a cash of cans centre where you could get 75 cents a kilo.
Fantastic.
And, you know, add a bit of sand to a few cans and you get a bit more money. And then and that would pay for my ticket for the next footy game for the next weekend.
Great. Well,
and I'm helping the environment.
Oh, yeah, you were being totally conscious. But what did a footy ticket cost back then? Can you remember?
I think, I'm guessing, but it was only about $4 or $5. But, you know, there's a few cans that go into that.
Yeah. And did you buy a footy record?
Yeah, I used to buy the footy record. Yeah.
Did you keep a score?
I don't buy this footy record anymore.
Did you keep a score? So when someone kicked a goal, did you mark it down in your footy record?
No, I never did that.
Attention to detail, Skipper.
Not an analyst.
well, I haven't been to Princes Park before because I'm a West Australian Melburnian, but I did get home to my Fremantle Oval.
What do we call that, a wham?
Okay.
You're a wham.
With a wafia. I did get home for Christmas and I went to Fremantle Oval to watch the AFLW Fremantle Dockers team train.
Fabulous.
It was great. Zoe and I were the cheer squad. There were
fantastic, just the two of you.
Yeah, and on a couple of occasions there were four of us. It was brilliant. I got to learn a few of the players' names. Cara Donnellan's the captain and everyone will know her. Dana Hooker and Kirby Bentley, who did a knee and was out last year, part of the leadership along a group with Kiara Bowers and Amy Lavelle. But I had a quick word with the coach, Michelle Cowan.
Let's have a listen.
So congratulations and good luck for this season. This is incredibly exciting for us. What would you be normally doing in the middle of January?
I'd probably be at this same oval with South Fremantle Football Club if I was in WA, but obviously coming off the role at Melbourne Football Club, there could have been an opportunity that I would have been there as well, but I couldn't think of anywhere else I'd rather be right now than sitting here on a Tuesday after a game on the weekend in Darwin and preparing ourselves as best we can for round one.
So I only got to see the small screen version of the game against Adelaide at the weekend. What sort of feedback did you get from your players?
Yeah, they really enjoyed it. And I think we went in with that, expectation is we wanted them to just enjoy themselves for the hard work and the effort that they've put in over the last couple of months. And yeah, now on reflection and review of the game, the girls really enjoyed themselves and were happy with where we sit, knowing we've got another 3 weeks until we fly to Melbourne to take on the Bulldogs.
It's not long now.
No, it's not long at all. So we look forward to building on what, you know, the output of the weekend and building on that and seeing what we can do moving forward.
It seemed to me that we've been coming down to watch training for the last few weeks and still don't have names and numbers on players. So we're trying to figure out who are going to be the dynamic players for Freo. They all look pretty good to me. It looked like the usual suspects played well on the weekend, but Gemma Horton playing her 250th game?
Yeah, you would think so.
Like?
Yeah, that's her first game. So just incredible for her to come out and from a basketball background and that's her first AFL game ever. And I'd hate to see a second game if that's her first. So she's going to be incredible for us. And I think the opposition probably took note of that. But we had a lot of other girls stand up as well, which we're really happy about.
Yeah, it looked like your leadership group played well at the weekend. So what's it like working with women who come from other sports into Aussie rules?
Yeah, it's great and it's a great challenge as well that we need to, I guess, educate these girls about the game and then also the way that we want to play. But the great thing about it is they're just absolute sponges and just want to learn as much as they can and be the best that they can be. So to take someone like Gemma and even Kim Mickle, these girls, having not played the game, they just want to be the best that they can possibly be. And that's all you can ask for as a coach, being incredibly coachable.
So how does that work with that phrase game awareness? So they haven't played a lot of Aussie rules. I watched the little bits I could see. This Gemma even seemed to have that ability to read the play.
Yeah, she's got great effort and intensity on the footy field, and she wants to, when she sees the ball, she wants to get the ball. But yeah, that's the challenge is, I guess, the state of the game and reading the play that Kim's going to have and Gemma will have moving forward as the games get harder and closer and so forth. And there's a number of other girls there that we'll continue to educate when it comes to, I guess, reading the play. Mm. So we've got a long way to go in that regard, but the great thing about it, we've got an incredibly coachable group who just want to learn so much, and it makes our job so much easier.
So it would have been tough in Darwin in that heat. Was that helpful in building towards round one?
Yeah, it probably is, considering we'll play a couple of our games in the middle of the day and in summer. But the humidity is probably what got the girls out there, and it was even for both of the teams. So I was impressed. I certainly thought after 15 minutes you saw that they were the weather had an effect, but the effort and the intensity continue to be there right through the second and the third and right till the end of the fourth quarter. So we were really happy with their effort.
Do you have to travel much in the 8 weeks of the competition?
We've got 3 away games in the fixtures, scheduled fixtures, and 4 home games.
And what about the final?
Yeah, that sounds like that will be in Melbourne for the grand final. So top 2 teams play off in the grand final, which makes every round a really, really important round. Yeah.
What are your goals for the team?
I guess initially it's about gelling this group together, bringing a lot of different players from a lot of different clubs, and then just educating them about the way that we want to play. So when they run out there and we go up to the coach's box, that they know what their role is and they play their role. And I guess from a coaching perspective, you can sit back and facilitate a couple of things, but they run the show out there. And I thought that they did that really well on the weekend, but we can certainly improve.
And having been Melbourne-based for some time, do you feel like you've got an advantage in knowledge of the players? I mean, you've been part of the system.
Yeah, I think certainly know a number of the girls that are playing in the AFLW competition across the league, so certainly got a bit of a background on them, but no doubt they're all working really hard and probably add new dimensions to their game. So for me as well, I'll continue to educate myself and continue to maintain, I guess, that knowledge on the opposition moving forward.
What's the benefit of everyone being in the one place for 8 weeks?
Yeah, the benefit of us not drafting outside of WA as well is incredible. So the girls have gelled really well together. They're a great group, and I'm really happy with, I guess, where they're sitting in regards to the team building.
How many's on the list?
We've got 28 on our list.
And you've got 4 in your leadership group?
5 in our leadership group, yeah.
And 3 in your emerging leadership group. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I guess the girls, through the voting process, had identified a number of girls that will be significant leaders for the football club in the future. And I'm big on, I guess, empowering these girls and providing an environment where they can really flourish in regards to their leadership, because they will no doubt be future leaders of the football club, and why not facilitate a program for them where we can fast track that leadership and enhance their knowledge about what makes a great leader.
So exciting. We've got a couple of favourite players, having watched, and I want you to help me with pronunciation. So Lara, is it Filicamo?
Filicamo, yes.
Filicamo. She's fantastic. She's a nurse when she's not kicking the footy around?
Yeah, she's a nurse in emergency department, so quite an incredible girl on the field and off the field as well, and certainly one to watch come the season.
And Gabby O'Sullivan, like watching her run around too.
Yeah, a basketballer, and been over in America on a scholarship over there playing basketball, and her dad's a former footballer here in the Waffle system, and she no doubt got a bit of his talent because she's exceptional.
They're all great. They're all my favourites, but they've all got buns on top of their heads, and it makes them a bit hard to tell apart.
Yeah, we'll get the numbers on the back. That'll make it easier.
Michelle Cowan, the head coach of the AFLW Frio Dockers team.
Oh, yay. My goodness.
So excited. She was great. And it's been great watching the players, getting used to who is who. And as she says, having numbers would help. A Footy Girls Guide to the Stars of 2017, put together by Nicole Hayes and Alicia, sometimes is going to help us with the marquee players. But we're going to have to get the old-fashioned footy records, or footy budgets, as they were called in WA, and get the old Gestetner and photocopy some lists so that people can get used to players' names.
Yeah, it was, certainly. We're learning a whole league at once.
Yeah.
In fact, did they announce who the Collingwood captain was?
I'm not sure. I thought I was across everything, but no, I don't think so. They have already moved the Collingwood v Carlton game that was going to be at Collingwood's home ground, Olympic Park, a training ground really, to Princes Park, because they need more seats. Well, they need some seats.
They're anticipating a bigger crowd than they first were, for sure.
Yeah, which is great. Then it's there's a game at Witten Oval that weekend, but there's also one out at Casey Fields. Have you ever been out to where Melbourne will be playing their game?
No, I never have.
Yeah, okay. So more firsts.
But I'm
us.
Keen to go to as many women's games as possible and support different teams, because my team's not there. So I really want to get around and see some of those local games.
I'll keep putting the fixture on the Chicks Talking Footy a website, on the Joy website, so our page, you can check that out.
Social media.
And don't forget that the AFLW games are free, unless they're a doubleheader with the preseason men's comp. So I don't think there are many of those games, but so mostly it'll be free and accessible.
We're also going to be part of the Pride March this Sunday.
Because we can't have too much excitement.
We can't have too much on a weekend. The Pride March obviously is down St Kilda at 2 p.m. this Sunday.
That's right.
29th of January. And the LGBTIQAFL supporters groups are all of them will be there and be marching together for the first time ever.
Can you name them all?
That's a good test. So there's the Purple Bombers, there's the Ruby Demons, Saints Pride, Pink Magpies, Rainbow Crows, and
Rainbow Swans. And I believe the Blue Roos.
The Blue Roos.
We talked to them.
Oh, yeah,
the
there we go. So there's eight.
Seven, I think. Yeah.
Seven supporters groups. I'm wanting to get one started for the Hawks. Let me know if you think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And
send us a message.
I think that's so great that we're all going to be marching together. So we're going to be part of that march, and we're also going to try and march with Joy at the same time. So we'll see how quick we can run back up the laneway and do that.
Handballs and costume changes. And plenty to look forward to.
But we'll see you next week on Chicks Talking Footy, where we'll be talking to perhaps another player from the AFLW. See you next week. Footy.
Look.